Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney. A very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Brian.
Now, you've just left the Cabinet meeting, the last meeting of the Cabinet before the summer break, and a number of decisions, it's reported, in relation to COVID. We'll come perhaps to the weddings in just a moment. But first of all, what we understand is a decision in relation to extending the vaccination for COVID to 12 to 15-year-olds on foot of NIAC advice. Can you confirm that that has been the government's decision today?
Yes, that's the decision. And the NIAC advice is very welcome. And it means that we can now extend the benefits of vaccination to a much younger cohort. And obviously, as we approach September and lots of young people going back to school, that's a very significant advantage that we now have. And of course, we have the full reassurance of the NIAC advice. And this will be, of course, a decision for parents to decide with their children. In terms of vaccinations, but I think the government will supply a lot of reassurance to parents that this is safe to do and is certainly a big help in terms of trying to prevent the spread of the Delta variant.
Yeah, how soon can vaccination of this age group begin, and how soon might it be completed?
Well, I don't have the exact stats on that, but certainly the hope is that this could begin as soon as next month. Don't forget that 16 and 17-year-olds are now registering to be vaccinated. So we've moved right down the age cohort. We know there's very strong demand, even amongst young people, to be vaccinated. Ireland is really a world leader in that space, where there is a lot of trust in the science and in our medical expertise in terms of the advice around vaccination. So we expect that there'll be a strong uptake as well for the 12 to 15-year-olds, which just extends the vaccine shield to a much younger cohort. And, of course, that is that's all part of trying to contain and limit the threat of a new variant. And of course, it gives us a lot more confidence as well in terms of opening up society and removing the remaining restrictions.
And in terms of the capacity of the HSE to administer vaccines and the supply of vaccines available, would it be the hope that all young people in this age group could at least have been offered a vaccine, a first vaccine, before they return to school in September?
Well, I don't want to give that commitment, but I would say that I think our vaccination program has been remarkably successful. You know, we did, I think, over 120,000 doses last week. We now have 83%, more than 83% of our population has had a first dose, and over 70% has had both jabs at this stage. So, you know, Ireland has accelerated its vaccination program, and so I think we can look ahead with a lot of confidence that actually this can be done efficiently and relatively quickly. But you know, there's a lot of 12 to 15-year-olds in Ireland, so it obviously can't happen overnight. But certainly, I think we can be ambitious in terms of having that done quickly and certainly within the first half of September, I would have thought.
And does it mean that it will now be possible to achieve this elusive herd immunity, which we were told by the HSE, because of Delta, would need to involve a higher number of the entire population being vaccinated? Is that now a possibility? Does that loom into view?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of discussion with NEFID on what is herd immunity and what percentages do you need to reach and what age cohorts do you need, what age cohort is involved in that. And so, you know, as the variants become more aggressive in terms of how they spread, obviously herd immunity means a higher and higher percentage of the population needing to be vaccinated. But certainly once you're over 80% of the population fully vaccinated, you know, you're in a very strong space then, particularly when the remaining people who aren't vaccinated are predominantly very young people who have, you know, strong resistance to COVID anyway. Not all of them, of course. There are some vulnerable people, but by and large, the younger you are, the more resistant you are to COVID. So, you know, the vaccination program, as we had hoped, has turned out to be a great success. But we're not there yet, and Delta is still, resulting in significant numbers of people testing positive every day, and modest but still increases in the hospitalizations and in the numbers in ICU. So we need to be cautious still, but certainly I think we can look ahead with confidence in terms of the pace of the rollout of vaccination and, of course, the new age cohorts that can now get that protection, and just which on is this, something that the government confirms today.
And on this question of hospitalisation, people having severe or serious consequences as a result of contracting the virus, is it the case that the government has looked for greater clarity in relation to those who are hospitalised because they've presented with COVID, or those who've been detected as having the infection perhaps after they came into hospital? Have you looked for greater clarity on that, and have you got it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, there wasn't any discussion on that issue in Cabinet today. I mean, we obviously got a briefing from Minister Donnelly on the numbers in hospital and the numbers in ICU. You know, they have increased somewhat, but the pace of increase has slowed down in the last number of days. We're looking, obviously, at trends in other countries where the Delta variant arrived earlier. So if you look at Scotland, for example, their numbers have been falling now for the last number of days. If you look at England, their numbers have been falling for the last number of days, the same in the Netherlands. So there are some, you know, there is some cause for optimism, I think, but we simply can't be sure because new variants behave in unpredictable ways. So I think, you know, for now, the government message is clear. It's caution, but we are continuing to gradually open up. We're allowing people who are vaccinated now to eat indoors, to go to the pub. We are, for people who are holding weddings in August, after August the 5th, they'll be able to have 100 people at their wedding rather than 50. That's what we had committed to a number of months ago, and that's what we're trying to deliver now safely. But that doesn't mean that we're through this pandemic. We're not, and we want to make sure that it doesn't have a nasty tail still in it. And that's why people need to be cautious, but at the same time, there is, I think, cause for optimism.
Right. So the 100 people at a wedding will go ahead from the 5th of August then, both at the wedding ceremony itself and at a reception or function afterwards.
Yeah, so what will happen now is, you know, as ever, when we make changes to policy, there needs to be a change in the regulation as well. So Minister Donnelly will now work to produce clarity around, you know, everything from, you know, indoor, outdoor, music or not, receptions, numbers and so on, so that there's clarity before the 5th. And that will be in a regulation to ensure that it's law. So that's but the decision in principle was made today by Cabinet for him to get on with that, and to increase the numbers that can attend weddings from 50 to 100.
So if it's safe for 100 people to attend a wedding ceremony, why cannot 100 people attend other religious ceremonies? Not all weddings are conducted in churches, obviously, but many people are wondering why the same rules can't apply to communions, to confirmations, to funerals.
We've also made a decision today in relation to baptisms. So we're now saying that the religious aspect of baptisms will be able to go ahead in August, but we certainly don't want to see the sort of post-baptism receptions that would happen when lots of family members meet, and, you know, the kind of family events that happen. We're trying to avoid that because, as I said earlier, we are still dealing with a very aggressive and unpredictable variant of COVID. And so, you know, we gave a signal earlier in relation to weddings. Many people have invested in a wedding date, and that involves a very serious commitment. And so we want to make an exception for weddings because we said we would, and we think we can follow through on that, you know, in a way that's consistent with, you know, the concerns and caution that we have. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that the same goes for every other event.
Right.
But I do think weddings are special and they need special treatment, and that's what they're getting.
Okay, just before I let you go, a bid by Cork, your home city, for the 2024 America's Cup, one of the, if not the biggest events in world sailing. It's to be decided in the next number of weeks or a month or so where it'll be located. New Zealand has the discretion to make that decision. Ireland is in, and Cork is in the final shakeout, is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I'd like to say is this is very much an Irish bid. You know, it's not just a Cork bid. It just so happens that the most suitable infrastructure that we have is Cork Harbour for an event of this scale and size. New Zealand haven't finalised yet whether this event will leave New Zealand. But if it does, Ireland has been part of a process now for the last 6 months to narrow down suitable interested venues around the world to host what would be probably the largest sporting event ever to be held in Ireland. I mean, the America's Cup in terms of economic activity is third only to a Soccer World Cup and the Olympics in terms of scale. So, I mean, if you look at when this was last held in Europe, it was held in Valencia in Spain. And the estimate was that it was worth 2.8 billion euros to the Spanish economy. 2.5 million people came to watch the events. And, of course, this isn't like the Ryder Cup or a big football match, which, albeit are important generators of activity. But the America's Cup actually lasts for about 2 years in terms of preparation and presence and a series of events leading up to the to the main event. So this would involve a huge investment in Ireland from abroad and enormous media interest as well. I mean, the last America's Cup, which finished in March, had almost a billion people watching it. 941 million people watched it on television. Well, so it's a very, very big event, and hopefully we'll be successful competing to host it in the summer of 2024.
We look forward to hearing news in due course. The clock has caught up on us, so we'll have to leave it there, Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney.